In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Today, the Feast of St. Luke is of importance to the Fraternity of St. Peter because it was on this day, 33 years ago, that we received our approval from Rome as a society of pontifical right. So the founding of the fraternity is considered, July 18th. That's when our founders drafted and approved our constitutions. So July 18th is given as the founding of the fraternity, but today, October 18th, is the anniversary of the fraternity, a society recognized of pontifical right. There's, a diocesan right, apostolic right, pontifical right. A pontifical is the highest, right? We're not under any bishop, but under Rome itself. Normally, it can take, July, August, September, October. So it took us 3 months to go from drafting constitutions to becoming a society pontifical right. 3 months. Sometimes it takes 30 years or 50 years. So that the fraternity had a powerful cardinal helping them at this time, Cardinal Ratzinger. So we had, it was an inside job, I guess you could say. But St. Luke, we'll talk about St. Luke. He was one of the four evangelists writing the gospel, which bears his name. And he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And those two books, the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, account for 25% of the New Testament. So quite an important author, a contributor to the New Testament. St. Luke was a Greek physician from Antioch, a Gentile, and he followed St. Paul in his travels. He's mentioned twice by St. Paul in St. Paul's epistles. He's mentioned in Colossians and then 2 Timothy. He's mentioning, St. Luke, Luke is coming, he is a good worker and so on. St. Paul in his epistles also makes reference to a few times, he says, his gospel, and this means the gospel written by St. Luke. So St. Paul was primarily who Luke learned the gospel from, but also others, as he says himself. That St. Luke was a physician comes out in the language he uses in his writings. He uses specific medical terms that would have been proper to a physician. I think one example was one of the Greek words he uses, instead of saying knife, he will say scalpel and things like that, like actual terms. Also, he gives greater attention to such things as would be interesting to a physician, such as the healing miracles of Christ. St. Luke goes into great detail on those things. He also, of course, as a physician, would have been interested in the account of the birth of Jesus, right, delivering children. So he gives the most detailed account of the birth of Christ and also the birth of St. John the Baptist. So we have St. Luke's medical, history to thank for that. St. Luke's gospel is also the only one to begin with a preamble. He says, other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, they just start the gospel. But St. Luke's gospel begins with an explanation, and it reads thus. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down onto those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. A number of interesting things we learn from that, in that St. Luke was not the first to write the gospel. Many others had also taken that onto account before him. St. Matthew is considered the first, and then either St. Luke, I think St. Mark, and then St. Luke. St. John was the last to write a gospel. St. Luke tells us that he made careful investigation. So he talked to St. Paul, he would have talked to the other apostles, and he was interested in only setting down those things which were handed on. This account, interesting, this gospel was an account for those who were already being instructed. I too decided, after investigating everything carefully, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the truth concerning things about which you have already been instructed. So this would be an apologetics note for Protestants who say that faith comes through the Bible. You got to read the Bible and the Bible alone. Well, St. Luke is telling us, we've already begun instructing you in the faith. You believe because you have heard, so I'm going to write down a book for you, an account, that your faith might be all the more firm. You may know with certainty, not just from hearing, but also from reading as well. So there's kind of, again, a little apologetics note that it is not primarily through reading that faith comes, but through hearing from those who have received it and handed it on. Saint Luke joined, when he joined Saint Paul, Saint Paul was halfway through his journeys all over the Mediterranean. This is indicated in Acts chapter 20. Up to this point, when Saint Luke is writing the Acts of the Apostles, he will use the third person. Saint Luke went here, they went here, he did this, they did that. And then in Acts chapter 20, it switches to, then we did this, and they came to us, and so on. So he switches to the first person. So that's the point at which we know, okay, St. Luke has now joined St. Paul's group. St. Luke would end up writing his gospel. He would accompany St. Paul on his journeys. Eventually, he would retire in Greece, where he was evangelizing, and he would be martyred there at the age of 84. So thus, the end of St. Luke, evangelist and companion of St. Paul. Going back to the fraternity, the feast for today, rather interesting, right? It's on the feast of St. Luke, who was an evangelist. He was a preacher. He was one who brought the gospel to the world. So you could see that as the fraternity having that connection. That's a kinship we have with St. Luke. That's what we're trying to do. St. Luke was a physician. He was interested in healing people, and that's what the gospel does. The truth of Christ, the truth of the gospels, heals people. And if there's one thing in the world today that's needed, it's spiritual healing, especially in the church. Somebody mentioned to me the other day, too, just yesterday, they said, Father, you know, in the lives of the saints, the 33rd year was kind of important. That ended up being a momentous year for many of the saints. Do you see anything like that for the fraternity, their 33rd year? I said, no, that's the lives of the saints. But who knows? You know, this could be quite a momentous year for the fraternity. There are people in Rome that are not friends of tradition. They are not friends of the fraternity, and they would like nothing more than to see the fraternity suppressed, disbanded, dispersed. And Father Bissig, you know, our the seminary rector and one of the founding members of the fraternity, just a few weeks ago, he was here, and he said, pray very much for the fraternity. He's worried, right? A lot of the founders are quite worried, and it is not, will the fraternity get suppressed? I mean, I don't think so, but there's more than a small chance it might happen. This is not fear-mongering or anything, I mean, hence yesterday's sermon, but it is something that, you know, we just don't know. We don't know what may happen. As I say over and over and over again, we just have to be willing to accept what God gives us and to trust that he has a plan, like just like the apostles. They had to go through Holy Saturday, you know, Good Friday. That was not a pleasant experience at all. Their faith was really tested. And I would say everybody's faith needs to be tested. Everybody needs to have that moment where deep down there is a fear. There is an, oh my gosh, I didn't think this would ever happen, and here it is. You know, the faith is shaken. It's important to be able to move past that, but it should be momentary, right? It shouldn't last very long at all. It should be that thing where it comes, it's quick, you fall back on your faith, and then you move forward. But that's where you get true faith, right? That's where you get the true strength, is it when you have really dug down deep and said to yourself, yes, I do believe this. This is not just something I do on Sundays or at some times. I do it all the time. All the time. Such that I'm willing, you know, like St. Paul or his companions, I'm willing to be shipwrecked, to be stoned, to be imprisoned, to be ridiculed, to be the offscouring of all. And I'm willing not just to do it, but to write it down and give testimony. This is what I believe. This is what I did for all time. And I would say that's the book written by the martyrs, the book written in their blood, their testimony of the faith. So if we are supposed to be able to give our blood for Christ, can we not give our time? Can we not give our efforts or our sorrows or our sufferings or our pleasures, our quality of life, so to speak, our jobs, right, our finances? Give it all to Christ. Let him do with it what he wants. Don't worry about the rest. So I would ask us all, let us pray to St. Luke, right, for that courage, for that faith, for that generosity, to be willing to give all for Christ and his truth, that we might bring healing to the world, to those around us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.